Good morning. Big old social evening for Justin and I, supporting the colleagues.
A little show night out.
An industry evening for the two of us
industry
and co.
Evenings. Unofficial. Unofficial industry outing.
We were there supporting Alex and Will's event with Chris Boucher at Revival, something or other. We walked in, it was like a club.
Yeah.
Red lights, things hanging from the ceiling.
I felt very out of place.
It was like vibesy, dark lit.
Big old bar.
Big old bar.
Coat check. I haven't done coat check in a while.
Yeah, that's...
I hate coat check.
Let's talk about coat check for a second.
Okay, let's get into a little coat check talk.
$4.
Which isn't bad.
But on purpose, so then you pay $5. Because who's walking around with loonies in your pocket, which is smart. But
thank you, by the way, for grabbing mine.
No problem. I didn't realize that would still apply at an event, you know, like a event that you paid money to attend.
Well, it's a charity event, so hopefully it went to charity.
I don't think the coat check money went to charity.
You don't think so?
That little boy behind the coat check was pocketing all that. He's rolling out with wads of cash.
He was very concerned about the liability with your purse.
I left the bag with him. I said, there's nothing in it. I just don't want to carry around mittens.
Oh, he knows there's nothing in it because he rifled through it.
He definitely looked through my bag. But we went and supported Alex and our boy, Chris Boucher as well, and Will. It was fun. It was good.
Mm-hmm. Chris Boucher
late
is quite
late night for
the-
you, though.
Quite the character. Yeah, a little late night for me. Actually, not too bad. I mean, we were out of there.
See, we wanted to do the Irish
exit. We were out of there before 10?
Yeah. We wanted to do the Irish goodbye or whatever, where you just...
Our specialty.
You just zip out, but then it was... You had to go get your coat, and I was like, oh, I'm going to get my coat. I was certain... I remember when I told you, I was like, I'm going to go get my coat, but I'll come back. I was not planning on coming back.
Really?
I'll tell you that.
You're worse than I am.
But then everybody came with me, and they're like, oh, I'll go get my coat, too. And I'm like, ah, damn it. Because they're like, good idea, go get your coat before
that
the line.
That was pretty clutch because there's a massive line after.
But I thought
but the
I
reason
would just
why we
exit,
stayed,
I wanted to say bye to the squad.
The reason why we stayed is they were giving out, I think, about 100 prizes.
And I'd never in my
the
life.
The raffle lasted forever.
See, that made me feel like, wow, if we ever had an event, we need to get at least 50 prizes to give away. Because 30
minutes. No, that was too much.
30 minutes at the end of this event. That you couldn't leave.
It was like an hour long, that
right.
raffle.
You couldn't leave because...
There were 50 Raptors jerseys, and of course,
we
didn't
won
get
nothing.
Anything.
I, in my lifetime, I can honestly state this, have never won one item from a raffle.
I was like that for the longest time, but every year we go to this golf tournament, Firefighters mm-hmm. Golf Tournament, just a little charity event. It's basically just 50 guys that play golf over 2 days. And when you arrive there,
big old
like,
sausage fest, eh?
A little early for that comment.
Breakfast sausage.
Yeah, there's actually plenty of breakfast sausage involved. Anyway, there's this, you just do this like putt off, whatever, a little mm-hmm. raffle, these little games to start things. And usually we never won anything. It's like they almost took the younger guys out of it. It was just like all the older guys winning everything.
They put yours in a different pile.
Like, it felt like that, very much so. But then all of a sudden, maybe 10, 12 years into me doing this, I couldn't stop winning. So
wow.
I won.
I wonder what that feels like.
They postponed one for COVID. Mm-hmm. So there was two in the calendar year. I won the foursome to go back. And then 8 months later, I won the hotel room.
No, you didn't.
So we did the
Justin.
Entire trip again.
Where is this?
Just in Niagara Falls.
Oh,
so we did the entire trip again.
Hotels.
Expensive hotel. Free golf. Two for one.
So you can win.
So I've rebounded a little bit here.
You can win raffle prizes, but not the wake and rake.
Yes.
Okay. So when does that become?
When does that become a thing?
It's okay. I lost two last night.
Do we all? Was it 0-3? 0-3 night?
It could have been.
Maybe Kaprizov got it. Didn't matter.
What was
that
his
point.
Over 3.5 shots? Yeah.
We needed four shots from him.
I don't think it happened.
So a tough night for us. A fun night for us,
very
though.
Fun.
A little show outing, and I think the biggest take home from it. Was that Chris Boucher is a pretty funny guy. Pretty
Chris
good
Boucher
on the mic.
Is,
pretty funny.
He
handled
go
himself
into media.
Really, really well. And of mm-hmm. course, he does a podcast. Mm-hmm. And he's friend of the show with Will and Alex. But he acquitted himself pretty well on stage. He was funny, making jokes, cracking jokes, having fun with members of the crowd. He challenged someone who asked him about the players only meeting.
That was fun.
Basically told him to get back on the mic and like wanted to know more because he
made it seem like
he didn't know about it. Yeah, there's a little question and answer. And he denied being at the players only meeting. Maybe it was just a one player meeting that went on. Anyway, a little smoke and mirrors, maybe. He did deny that there was a players only meeting involving the entire team.
I was thinking when this was going on. So Will and Alex on stage with Chris for a while, and then there was another host,
Mike Roach,
who also talked to Chris Boucher for, I don't know, 25, 30 minutes, allowed for fan questions, and a lot of them were layups like, you know, if you could have one player's skill from your team, he picked Freddie's IQ.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you could have
a little self-deprecation, he was saying that I can't find the guy in the corner. I often don't make the right pass because I don't have Freddie's brain, which was great.
He was asked about Scotty Barnes and how things are going right now, vibes-y.
Admitted that, like, something's going wrong, he's still the same kid, which was what he was so proud of Scotty for, is that he's not, like, moping in the locker or any of that stuff. He's just the same guy. He's just acknowledged that he's not having, you know, the year that many people expected.
He was asked which Raptor he missed the most, of course, Kyle Lowry.
Mm-hmm.
But he was asked by a fan. It was like the last question of the night. Okay, we're gonna let Chris go. Any final questions? And someone goes, "Can you tell us what happened at the players only meeting?" And he goes, "What do you mean, what players only meeting?" And I looked at Justin. I'm like, "Get your mic out. Pulling up my notes app, ready to type out the response. Or we should have had someone transcribing. Producer Daniele should have been there, just with the recorder helping transcribe. But he basically was like, "There, what players only meeting? Like, when was this?"
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, two weeks ago, pull up the podcast. And I was like, "I don't know about that.
We know exactly when it was.
Like, I'm not sure. I don't know about that meeting." It's like, what?
Actually, I guess we haven't even talked about it on the podcast or on the show.
The players because... only meeting? Oh, we did. We certainly talked about it.
Okay, sorry. Because I thought I heard more about it on the way, and I was like, wow, I wish we had more to dig on
that. We talked about it.
Because Grange said it. I thought Grange said it with Will today or yesterday.
No, we talked about it.
Okay.
Go back and listen, subscribe, 5 stars, download.
I'll have to do
promote.
That.
Promote. But we did talk about it, but it was just interesting. But Chris Boucher, he's funny. And he kind of acknowledged the fact, he's like, "I don't know if people really know, like, I do talk and I'm fun." And him and OG are besties. And it's right. And he was asked about OG and his, like, friendship. He's like, "Oh, we're good. Like, we're hilarious. We chat all the time." It's like, give us some of that. People ask, like, "What's OG like?"
I think the funniest thing was him describing OG's, like, how annoyed he is by the line of questioning that he normally gets. Like, how he just, people ask him, like, how his day was. And he just doesn't want to answer how his day was.
Yeah, Chris is... tips to the media, which was a lot of us there, was like, "Don't ask stupid questions, OG."
Exactly.
He's like, "Don't ask him what he did this summer. He said he read a book."
Although I feel like the best stuff that comes from OG is mainly stupid things.
Yeah. But we don't really know OG because of that.
I guess so.
We're not at Raptors practice.
He's a tough nut to crack, OG Anunoby.
Maybe the Raptors squad that
Boucher's
was there.
On the end, though.
The Raptors reporter/squad that was there might change their approach to talking to OG because of Chris Boucher divulging some information.
Mm.
But it was great. I really enjoyed it. Proud to see Alex and Will in their element. Like they got a fan group that only we could dream of, Justin.
Yeah.
We showed up. It said it started at 6:30. We showed up around 6:30. Line out the door down the block.
Mm-hmm.
Down the block, I was like, "Well, do we wait in this?" And we were prepared to wait in it, but I don't know if it makes us sound scummy, but Alex walked up and down the line. He's like, "What are you guys?"
I felt really scummy.
He's like, "What are you doing in line?" And I was like, "I don't know. Everyone else is in line." And he's like, "Just come with me." So we walked past everybody and got in the
door. I feel like the most uncomfortable feeling in the world is walking by people waiting for something that you haven't waited for. Like walking by a line because you are... greater than for whatever reason.
I didn't love
it's
it.
It's really uncomfortable.
But
I couldn't deal with myself.
Pounced on the idea and the opportunity. When
I wanted to stay back there. You're like, "No, we're going."
Well, it would have been an hour of being in the cold.
I don't think it would have been
like
an hour.
30 minutes at least. But they're in their element. it's great to see them. Like, they just have such a great fan base.
Mm-hmm.
With the Raptors show and what they do with post game.
Hey, we have the same fan base. They just get up early in the morning.
That's right. We should
can't
have
be
a,
doing nights
we
out.
We need a breakfast show. We'd have a line down show, the block. Yeah. But, you know, they're proud of them. A lot of money to charity. It was a great event. We got to have a little social, a tame social evening, even though it was like at a club. It was great. So our tangible pieces are Chris Boucher's funny. Maybe there was or wasn't a players-only meeting. OG, just ask him better questions and you'll get better answers.
And Chris excited about the Olympic possibility.
Yep. He did say, like, well, who would not want to go to the Olympics?
Yes, I think that was... See, you didn't need a recorder. You had everything transcribed in
your
brain.
I was having a fake beer, so then I was, like, wide awake and...
A fake beer.
Yeah. So then I could really just hone in on the notes.
Always grinding.
But I looked down at my phone. You should have saved. It's just like the notes app open.
Then you got through home and just sifted through all the information.
I transcribed everything. But congrats to them. Really great event. Hope they have another one. Lots of giveaways, which I had no hope in a
dream. I don't know how they acquired everything they did. I'm not kidding. There were 25 Raptors jerseys at least that were given out. In addition to a retro Yao Ming.
That was sick.
Which was... From his rookie season mm-hmm. with the Houston Rockets, because only one season did he have his full name, Yao Ming, on the
awesome.
Back.
It was awesome.
Someone won that. It was very excited.
Some really cool giveaways. I do remember my ticket, the final digits were 059,
mm-hmm.
058, and 060.
Mine was 060. So
then I was 058, whatever. Yeah. The number above and below me was called. So
that it was maybe the worst prize that you almost won, though.
I would have taken it. I wanted the glory of being like bingo. I've never called bingo before. Like that excitement of like, oh my God, I won something. Never happened.
I mean, if you just go
will.
To a bingo hall, eventually you'll win bingo.
I went with my grandmother once and she sweeped up the bingo hall. Like
really?
That lady
and
was
you were just empty handed.
I never did I even get close. Like she, I don't know if she
were
had
using
an
those
in.
Like dots.
Yes. The dabbers. I went with her and she cleaned house. It's like they wouldn't even let her back.
I can only hope that I have that stage in my life where I'm not really doing much, but at least I could go play bingo.
At the Legion?
Yeah.
This was the New Market Legion.
Are Legions dying, by the way?
We should find out.
Because I haven't seen a Legion near me ever.
Well, you're kind of in too much of like a metropolitan area.
Not really. You are. I'm in the burbs.
Yeah, but...
But I was up in cottage country.
The roots are not in the burbs.
I was up in cottage country in the summer, and the Legion was like in prime location.
Yeah, it's bumping.
It was like that place is going off every night. That's where you want to be. But there are no Legions where I am. I need a Legion.
We got to support the Legions.
Let us know in the text line if Legions are still thriving.
All right. Thriving, maybe. The Blue Jays landing another fish, the big fish. Chris Bassett.
Mm.
Just continue with the hook, line, and sinker, the Bassett.
Wow.
The sinker is his pitch, too. So, like, there's so many headlines to be written.
We got all of them out of the way, really. About 10 seconds there, we got them all out of the way. Every pun.
But the Blue, and here Daniele says, the Blue Jays made a fairly big splash on Monday.
There we go. We got the last one. I don't know if there's any left. We'll think of one. Anyway, do you breathe a little sigh of relief? That the Blue Jays got something done,
yes,
adding Chris Bassett?
I did. And it's not a, you know, Kevin Kiermaier somewhat replacement that needs also another addition to fill that role.
Right.
Definitely not
the
handsome devil that Kevin Kiermaier is, mm-hmm. but he will significantly
maybe Bassett will grow on you.
Bolster this starting rotation. He turned down an offer to go somewhere else, to come to Toronto, which is something that we hadn't seen yet.
Mm-hmm.
He would like to come here.
The Blue Jays.
He would like to play here.
They gave him a lot of money to do that, but yeah.
So mid-rotation starter, the third highest paid free agent pitcher so far this offseason.
So it's not like the Blue Jays, I mean, they obviously had to buck up in order to get Chris Bassett, but it's not like they're penny pinching here.
Mm-hmm.
They went out and spent money.
3 years, $63 million deal.
This is the fourth consecutive summer where they've invested pretty heavily in a pretty attractive asset.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Hyunjin Ryu a couple years ago, Springer, Kevin Gausman. The deal with Kevin Gausman just looks so good after this offseason.
He would have been millions and millions and millions of dollars if he was
millions
a free agent.
More, because it was
year.
Millions, but more and more and more.
He would have been reeling in.
And Chris, there you go. And Chris Bassett cash. Actually is making the exact same amount on an annual basis, at least next year. So I think that's one of the take homes here is that there's like a little, there's a reasonable hierarchy, at least with the starting pitching staff, where it's like Jose Berríos underpaid or at least was before he turned in a really regretful season. Alek Manoah can still figure out exactly what he's going to make, but under team control, he can't really get up into that range. Bassett comes in after Gausman, so has the benefit of the extra mm-hmm. year and a bit of an improved marketplace, at least for free agents, but still, and he got full value, but you're still at that $21 million range. I look at that rotation, and if Jose Berríos can turn it around, if he can be the guy we expected him to be, I think you got a pretty cost-effective starting mm-hmm. rotation, all told, because with the money that, you know, the Mets have been spending and Jacob deGrom got with Texas, like, yeah, I guess you could have been in that those sweepstakes. There's nothing really stopping you. You can fly by the luxury tax threshold if you want. But I feel like the Blue Jays have done a nice job piecing together almost exclusively through free agency and trade and signing their own guys. A reasonably cost-effective and reliable starting rotation mm-hmm. if Jose Berríos can be that guy again. I think a lot of the season just rests on the shoulders of Jose Berríos, because if he can be even in the Bassett range, mm-hmm. which is just reliable, put in good starts, you still have two potential Cy Young guys leading your rotation, and you're not paying them an enormous amount of money. So all told, I think they're pretty good from a starting pitching rotation standpoint. Maybe like a little bit more diversity, throw in a lefty. You still have competition for that fifth spot. Maybe you're not feeling good about either option you really have with Kikuchi or White. But I think 80% of the way there, it's pretty good.
Yeah, I'd be surprised if they add another starting pitcher. I think now the priority shifts elsewhere, but I feel like
at some point the onus has got to be on you, on your team, yes. the people that you have already there, figuring out a way to make do with that fifth spot. And if you don't have it internally, then you can address it maybe later.
And Chris Bassett brings just a level of consistency to the middle of your rotation. The guy has put in, I mean, he's going to be 34 when opening day arrives. And I know people circle, they immediately look at Wikipedia. This guy's old, but he has not put that much on his body mm-hmm. because he's had some seasons with
and
injury.
I think that is kind of a good thing mm-hmm. because you didn't have to go 6-7 years with
yep.
him. Like a 3-year deal is very, very reasonable. And it's a lot of money. 20 mil a year plus is a lot of money, but at least it's not something that's going to last 7 years. For that reason, I think it's like the right balance of what you need and what you can do safely from a financial perspective.
So the reliability, his strength, he has one of the best sinkers in baseball.
Mm-hmm.
Hook, line, and sinker.
There you go.
Which is great because it's soft contact, right?
Is that great, though?
Well, he's good at that. That is his, he's one of the best in baseball.
I mean, we came into this off season thinking we need swing and miss.
Okay.
We need to strike out some more guys here because we can't just rely on, like Kevin Gausman's a perfect example. Kevin Gausman got BABIP to hell, right? Everything that mm-hmm. was actually bad on ball fell in. You can only rely on your defense so much. And I feel like the Blue Jays are really, really, really relying.
This is Matt Chapman central.
And it's another reason why Kevin Kiermaier was brought in.
This guy and Kevin Kiermaier are a perfect outfield for Chris Bassett.
Mm-hmm.
Infield, outfield, because that's where the ball's going. And he's good at that, and that's his pitch, and is one of the best, and he's consistent, and he'll get 7 innings. He basically has gone 7 innings in over 20 starts. He's going to be able to give you that 1-4 runs. But, yes, it's not swing and miss central with him.
I just think, like, I think that can be too cute. I think that strategy can be too cute where it's like, okay, we're going to put really good defenders in the areas we think are going to be high-stress situations for our fielders because of the pitchers we're putting in there. Like, you know what's better than putting out a guy who mm-hmm. can get soft contact to third base?
Would be someone that strikes out.
A guy that just misses bats.
But I do have the confidence in the defense.
Mm-hmm.
To maybe level that out a bit.
Yeah, and I think you got to find the right balance. Like, if you're hinging everything on that, I think it's misguided. However, again, the Blue Jays have two Cy Young caliber pitchers leading their rotation. You can't have all aces. Like, you could try to be like the Mets. You can be like teams that are spending enormous amounts of money, but that's just not reality. That's not a reality for everyone. So you need guys that are going to be of the Stripling mold. Clearly, they felt more comfortable giving Bassett the money that they did than giving Stripling something that was in that range. And I feel like that's reasonable. Like, you just can't have everyone be dominant, dominant, dominant. I guess the thing is, like, that swing and miss has to come somewhere. Like, if you want to win playoff games, if you want to have success in the postseason, I feel like you can't just continue to rely on the ball being put in play in the defense, because eventually teams will break through on that. If I have any criticism remaining of the Blue Jays, I guess there's a lot to criticize.
Just in the starting rotation.
But I feel like eventually, like, it's got to come from somewhere, that swing and miss. Hopefully the bullpen, like, that's what I'm looking at.
So that's next.
I think you can get into these. Yeah, the starting staff is a little bit different. But if you have the same soft contact guys coming out of the pen after going through six innings of soft contact with Bassett or whoever, eventually these balls are going to start to slip through the gloves or get over the shoulder or bounce just by. Like, that's just the reality of postseason baseball. I think you need more swing and miss eventually. There's still room to insert it into your lineup. But the Jays' active roster filling up pretty quickly. Like, there's not that many holes left remaining other than the outfielder that they have to bring in to pair with Kevin Kiermaier.
So a lefty bat, an outfielder, and some bullpen. I do still think that there are some holes there, but I would be comfortable going into the season with this starting rotation, personally.
Yeah.
It's a great four that you have.
It's a great four.
A lot hinges on
five,
Jose,
like,
Berríos.
Oh.
But how many teams can you say have an elite five starter?
Yeah, no. We shouldn't
it's
say
your
it's
fifth
a great,
starter for a reason.
I shouldn't say it's a great four. It could be a great four.
And this all
Again,
relies on Jose Berríos.
I think the entire season probably rests, like, to be, like, really, really good, it rests on Jose Berríos. Because if he's a black hole again, and you're probably expecting not the world from your fifth starter, whether it's White or Kikuchi, you're down to the same thing you were last year, where 60% of the time you feel good, 40% of the time you feel like it's going to be uphill sledding to win this game.
Do you remember, I think it was this season or last season, when he got the 100-mile-per-hour line drive off his face? This was this guy.
You flagged it to me yesterday.
I just, when I was looking at Chris Bassett highlights, that injury came across the timeline, and it was, it just, yeah, it has nothing to do with the signing, but I just remembered when I watched it how frightening that was, like, straight off his face.
And as you mentioned, he's dealt with injuries that have kind of kept the mileage down. So maybe not the same 34-year-old, but again, it doesn't matter. I mean, Justin Verlander, what did he just get, $100 million? $86
million? It's true.
And he's 40 years old? Like, if you can pitch, you can pitch.
I do think that there's more of a calmness this morning, this evening, with Jays fans. I'd love to hear at 590-590. We're going to have Ben Nicholson-Smith on, talk about how this deal came, what's next, because if you're feeling like that put a little bit of a pin in the conversation, I think it did, where are we directing our attention to now? Outfield? What's the tandem with Kevin Kiermaier? Can they get that swing and miss that you're talking about in the bullpen? Well, I think that that's really important to highlight if you're the Blue Jays. So we'll see where they're moving now. But I think if I'm speaking for some Blue Jays fans in the social world, when I scroll, it's funny because as soon as something's announced, it's like everyone has a take.
Right.
And it felt like the takes were a little bit more positive. So
there you go.
I hope that means that we're feeling more comfortable this morning, Blue Jays fans.
It's fluid, right? Like, I don't think this offseason went the way the Blue Jays expected. Like, the moment they traded Teoscar Hernandez, they probably had plan A, plan B, plan C, and then multiple contingencies after that. We're probably into the multiple contingencies. I don't know if Chris Bassett was the guy they came in thinking
think you spoke about Chris Bassett.
No,
ever.
And we talked about Heaney, and we talked about all these different guys that they might be interested in, Nimmo, everyone. Like, a lot of interest, a lot of failed courtship, it seems. But it doesn't have to be one thing. It doesn't have to be square peg, round hole. It doesn't have to be whatever. It just has to be, you had to have someone, and you got someone that you can be reasonably comfortable with more often than not, not breaking the bank. Maybe you can bring up the Stripling thing again. Like, did you have to move off? Because this seems somewhat similar. But in terms of like getting something done, they have, it should work out reasonably well for them. It puts the onus on what they have already, but you still have to do more. You still have to do more if you're going to have a dominant pitching staff. And of course, there's still the outfielder hole. And now that we've seen movement in the catching market, we'll see if they're able to parlay one of their catchers into something
else. Movement in the catching market. Braves acquired Sean Murphy from the A's in a 3-team deal. That's just now another team that doesn't need a catcher. And the Blue Jays' cachet of catchers.
I like that. But now there's, okay, those who struck out on Murphy can look to Danny Jansen or whomever.
Oh, it's not certainly. So this was the domino that had to happen. Yeah. I do think one last thing. We will reevaluate this Chris Bassitt signing when we see what Ross Stripling gets and where he goes. And we talked about him having this unsung hero season with the Blue Jays, so much so that he became sung and he was like one of our most valuable players. Mm-hmm. And now we assumed was going to go get the bags somewhere else. Haven't heard much about where the conversation is going and what his value is projected as, but I think we can reevaluate or cross compare with Chris Bassitt and why the Blue Jays went with him and not Ross Stripling. Maybe it's just a money fit. They'll know more, but maybe that's something we bring up with Ben Nicholson Smith. And finally, when I asked the text line, a lot of people are asking what happened to, like, is Ryu coming back? And I actually don't know what the status update is on him. I know the Tommy John surgery isn't a quick turnaround. Is there any projection that he'll play next year? That's something that I think we should ask Ben Nicholson Smith. I don't actually know the answer to that, to be honest.
I think when it happened, it was like, okay, that's his Blue Jays career. I mean, there's always a possibility rehab is done in a manner in which gets you back, but it feels like you cannot plan on that pitcher, like not even in the slightest bit. Mm-hmm. Maybe there's like a gift at the end of the season. Maybe there's a postseason roster. I have no idea.
Just like there's a gift with Nate Pearson.
I would consider him in the same category because I don't think as a Blue Jays fan, you should expect anything from either of them, but certainly with Ryu, health will dictate like basically take him out of the equation. With Pearson, it's like more of a, you know, performance thing. What's he going to give you? With Ryu, the injury will take him out probably for the entire season. Like the reports were that he was done as a Blue Jay and that's why they've had to act the way they've done.
Well, producer Daniele says he's expected to be ready midway through the season. As Scott Boras, as his agent, said,
interesting,
that maybe mid-year. So,
okay,
maybe that changes the way you evaluate this when you look at the big picture. Is playoffs?
I was a little surprised when it came out and it's like, oh, he's done. Like the Blue Jay career over. We can already like write the story on Ryu because it was like a full, like he still had a full year beyond what it was. So, but they're acting like he's not part of the equation. That might be part of the performance thing, the unknown. I don't know. Maybe a gift, as Daniele mentions, before the end of the season.
All right. More to come with Ben Nicholson Smith at 8 o'clock. Let's shift to the Maple Leafs, who are back in action tonight against the Anaheim Ducks. What I meant by that was their trip out west to their LA Ducks, the Vegas Golden Knights and the Kraken. Mm-hmm. That whole little West Coast trip was kind of the last time that we felt the tension and the tumultuous anxiety that came with the Toronto Maple Leafs, that fateful road trip where Sheldon Keefe's career with the Maple Leafs was in question. We came back on that Monday morning after they blew this massive road trip and the vibes were absolutely bottom of the barrel. And now they're facing this team again, which is kind of like a reevaluation point, and this is a completely different Maple Leafs team.
And I think the biggest point of reference would be Mitch Marner, because Mitch Marner was responsible, or at least partly responsible,
slamming his stick
for that loss, benched, gave up two giveaways, resulted in two goals, allowed the Anaheim Ducks back in the game, and how his season has turned around since then. Pretty remarkable. There's not much more you can say. Like, we understand how good they've been since.
Yes.
I guess this is one reference point, but the Anaheim Ducks, I think, have one win in regulation this season.
Yeah, like,
they're a really, really bad team. This is as big of a mismatch as you're going to get right now in the NHL with the Ducks rolling into Toronto.
So it was a good reflection point. Obviously, no Toronto teams in action last night, so we were discussing where we're at, reevaluate this team. I guess it's a month and so since. And the question that we came to was, if Kyle Dubas was handed a contract extension today, would you be okay with that?
I personally wouldn't, because they talk about the process all the time. Mm-hmm. They talk about, you know, how you've got to go through it and we're dedicated to this and you guys are wrong for thinking we should overreact. Mm-hmm. Well, you laid it out for us. You laid it out exactly what your plan was, and you told us or indicated to us what would mean success, what would result in further partnership between Dubas and the organization, what he has to do to earn that next contract. It would seem short-sighted. It would seem reactionary. It would seem like they're falling into the same trap mm-hmm. if they just went ahead and rewarded him now. Like, there's no difference now and the end of last season or the end of last regular season.
They had their best regular season of all time.
Yeah, this team performs at a very, very high level in the regular season. The standard is such, but they chose not to reward Kyle Dubas for regular season success.
And he spoke about that as well and said he wants to be judged on a full body of work.
There you go. And I think that was more protective in that, hey, where did I start and where am I finishing?
That's right.
At least in terms of where the team is. I think if you use that criteria, he can tell a wonderful story because the team has improved dramatically. Many of the players he brought in have been really, really successful. So, yeah, that makes all the sense in the world. But I guess you could also interpret that as, okay, I need postseason success because that is the most important thing. But he would sign a contract today if he was offered it, I assume. I don't know if he'd backtrack that much or have that much pride that he couldn't sign that contract. Maybe they would just delay it. But I think there would be an issue if he signed a contract today because they told us that's not an option. Mm-hmm. And then they're changing their own rules and only doing it because the Leafs have had a strong month, a really strong month, maybe the best month that you could possibly imagine, but still just 1 month. So I still think they have to get through this season. Does he sign a contract before the playoffs? There's no chance. The optics of that are terrible. I still don't think he necessarily needs to win a round to sign a deal. Like, I think he's done an incredible job putting a team together.
See, that's where I don't agree. Everything you said to this point, I'm nodding ahead.
Okay.
Like, yep.
But my only caveat with that would be, okay, how are you going to identify why this team isn't having postseason success? Like, if the same thing happens again, it's like, okay, are you going to give him one more chance to change? Probably not, because he hasn't changed. He put the exact same style of team on the
ice. At some point, somebody needs to fall on the sword if that happens
again. I think that's really the problem. I think that's mm-hmm. why he won't get it, because he doubled down on what he believes in the most. He mm-hmm. doubled down on his vision. And if his vision comes up short, if it remains flawed in the postseason, you can't reward that.
He pushed all his chips in and went all in with the signing of the goaltending, with the fact that we're running it back once again.
That we're still this team that prefers puck possession and yep. this and that over, you know, being overly physical.
And the biggest part of this is they didn't give him the extension for a reason, because I completely view this as this season is about that postseason success. If it was maybe any other team in the league, maybe he would have been signed to extension. This has been a great couple months. It's been great regular season success, but this isn't any other team in the league. This is all riding on postseason success. You want to be judged on your value to this team. I think a lot of players as well might be in that boat. But by not giving him an extension at the beginning of the season, you've already made that decision. So what would change? Because you had a stretch here where you're one of the hottest teams in the NHL. You have a player that is one of the hottest players in the NHL, but that really ultimately doesn't mean anything until the playoffs. And this is the same conversation we have when we try to talk about the Maple Leafs on a Monday morning after, you know, an exciting overtime win. It's like, you can be so thrilled for where they're at, but ultimately the fan base as well has this lingering thought of it doesn't matter until mm-hmm. the playoffs. So if you're looking at the extension, and I certainly think there's a lot of value to what you said about he's earned it in a small sample, but it doesn't matter until this postseason.
No, if you look at the only the context of the regular season, you can't ask for much more. You cannot ask for more than taking a team that was, you know, pretty good in a lot of ways, maybe not completely matured, but turned them into one of, if not the highest performing regular season team league-wide or in the Eastern Conference. Like, there are a few teams that can compare to them in the regular seasons over the last few years. However, this game is different in the postseason. So if your vision is directed and catered towards only the 82 games that are played a certain way, and there's no ability to adapt, then your design is flawed. And the Leafs would have to recognize that if, again, the same thing happens. Again, these are short samples. These are great teams that they are playing. But eventually, it has to work when it matters. And you can continue to say that his design is flawed if it continues to not work when it matters the most.
You can't be rewarding regular season success anymore, because that's not the way that this team is evaluated.
And you can't be using the excuse of the opponent's really good, because you've set a standard.
You have to beat the best opponents to win the Stanley
Cup. Like, you've set the standard in the regular season that you are superior, that you are this, that you're in the highest tier, that you're one of the best teams in the league. And if that doesn't translate over and over and over again, you can't do it. Now, there are other things that are potentially in play. What if Austin Matthews says, hey, I just want to deal with Kyle Dubas? Then you got to keep him around, right? Like, you just have to. There's no other option. Do you take away some of his power? Probably. But he might remain the general manager with, you know, working with someone else. Maybe that's the future of this organization. I don't really know. But someone else has to be making key decisions if the Leafs don't win a playoff round this year.
Think about this trade deadline, too. That is a massive point of evaluation, because there are a few puzzle pieces that can be placed to make this team a different unit going into the playoffs. Very curious to see how they address that. They've had a lot of injury issues on the back end, where there was a month ago we were calling for, get this guy, Carlson, Chychrun, and co.
And I think it's worth considering how Dubas' contract status affects what he can do.
And that's the part. It's like, is he going to be given full opportunity at the trade deadline to do whatever he wants? I think so, because this is the season where you said, I'm going all in. I'm going to do the things that I think are best for this team, whether it's more Sue, maybe it's more trusting these two goaltenders that had question marks. Like, this is
Kyle Dubas' team.
This is your year, and you've said that before.
And if they don't allow him to do that, then what was the point in
keeping
him?
What was the point? Then that's why there's...
Because then you're not... It's half measures. And if you're half measures as the Toronto Maple Leafs, who haven't won a playoff round in forever, and continue to get to the playoffs and lose in the first round every single year around the best core that they've ever put on the ice, that's inexcusable. That's not Kyle Dubas' fault. That's the organization's fault if they don't let him do what he needs to do.
Yep.
And he's got moves to make.
And so that's why
Jake Muzzin money remains.
The trade deadline will be extremely interesting to see how you approach it, because there are some hot ticket items that could be available, and it can't be a Nick Foligno or,
well, this year's Nick
a Bogosian that maybe doesn't fit, that fizzles out when it matters. So I think we laid it out perfectly why personally and for yourself wouldn't be too pleased with the situation. I think the text line agrees. Chris from Beamsville. Dubas has done an average job at best. The Leafs have a few draft choices. The farm system is depleted. He's made some bad trades, and the Leafs are jammed up against the cap.
Those are fair points. Mm-hmm. I think one of his biggest failures is continuing to add to the foundation of talent. I think you're right in looking at that prospect system and feeling underwhelmed. But the reality of a team that is going for it, that has been involved, that has fancied themselves as a Stanley Cup contender for multiple seasons, is that you do pour assets into that. When you're chasing, you pour assets into it, and it leaves you a little shorthanded. The problem is that when you pour assets, as they've done, and don't get anything out of it, it looks bad.
A couple more here before we take a break. I would not be happy or impressed if Kyle got an extension now. If you let someone enter the season knowing you did not want to give them an extension, you have to stand by your gun and let him go until the end of the contract. If he was a player, you wouldn't offer him a deal to the offseason.
If it's a player, you might. But you can't with a general manager. You're 100% right with that.
All right. Text line 590-590. You can comment on that. You can comment on the new Blue Jays signing.
I will say quickly just on that. he is sort of like a player in that someone will be raising their hand. Multiple teams will be raising their hands to try and get him if he becomes an unrestricted free agent.
He's not going
to
be floating around for long.
Players are different in that, you know, you can waste an asset. You can let someone who you could trade for multiple assets, you could trade for a return, walk. It's bad asset management. The organization could suffer bad asset management if they just let Kyle Dubas walk. That's possible. Mm-hmm. Because he's going to be someone who is scooped up immediately if he so chooses. And he's looked at as a strong, one of the best GMs in the league. He might not be recognized that by his peers, but who's consistently putting together better lineups than Kyle Dubas? Not many. Regular season lineups.
All right, so evaluation point with the Ducks here in Toronto, kind of a reflection from the team that was and the team that is. Where your confidence level is that this is a lasting change. We're going to have Luke Fox on at 7 a.m. He just wrote a really great article about William Nylander. Obviously, coming off a five-point night, he's playing probably the best hockey in his career. I think it's not really an argument. His ascension to where he is. You brought up the contract. It just made me like anxious yesterday to talk about William Nylander's contract now, but there's a lot to ponder with this player. Quickly before we go into the A, let's take a break. We had another reflection point with the NFL because we're getting close to the playoff picture. There's some teams on the outside looking in.
Mm-hmm.
And it's exciting down the stretch because a lot can change. Like there's few teams that have really solidified themselves as the top of the top. So there's a lot of mixed middle ground. Teams that could run the table here at the end, make a push, teams that could really fall apart. So we did AFC / NFC teams that are on the fringe that could find a way to make some noise here.
Could run the table and get in the postseason.
Let's start AFC. If you had to pick a team or two, I don't know how many you chose, that could actually make this an interesting run down the stretch.
I actually don't think it's as interesting in the AFC. I am circling the Jaguars, though, because the Titans are really faltering. I think there's a two-game lead still for Jacksonville. That's after Jacksonville beat Tennessee this past weekend. But I think Tennessee's kind of in dire straits right now. Fired their GM despite leading their division. They're in one of the two really bad divisions in the NFL where they could get a home playoff date despite not being a very good team. Mm. But the way Trevor Lawrence played recently...
See, that's all like rides on for me.
I feel like there's a reasonable chance that they sneak in, maybe win three, maybe win four games down the stretch, and Tennessee goes 2-2 or 1-3, and they figure out how to get in. The Patriots won last night, which helps them. But when I'm looking at it, like I kind of think the Dolphins could slide out, but I don't know among the the Browns, Raiders, even the Patriots, like who can really get in there and take advantage of it. Right now in the AFC, I got the Jaguars circled.
I had the Jaguars with the Trevor Lawrence question mark because we talked about this with Ross Tucker yesterday. Which Trevor Lawrence you see is obviously there's times where you understand why he's a top draft pick and why he's this young face in the NFL. And then you see times, and as somebody that was a fantasy owner of him, frustration. So I think the Jags are a good choice. I had the Patriots just because it's Bill Belichick. They have one of the best defenses, but they got a tough schedule. Raiders, Bengals, Dolphins, and Bills. You have to look at the opponents.
Maybe catching
here.
The Bills at the right time if that game's meaningless for them, but yeah.
But I had the Chargers, who would be in right now, but they are listed in like a team that could run the table here. It's Justin Herbert. He can elevate his game. You need a quarterback at this point to lead you to run the table. And out of all the quarterbacks that we listed, I have the most confidence in him. They have Titans, Colts, Rams, and Broncos. They should go 3-1, hopefully, in that. They also have a history of choking, so something to consider.
They always, always, always find a way to blow it.
I know.
But maybe this is the time they don't. They should be better than that.
My confidence level is higher in them in the end of a season than it has been previously, so I'm just riding with that fact. And also had Justin Herbert on my fantasy team.
They play the way they played against the Dolphins on Sunday night, then they can not only get in, but be dangerous when they get there.
Okay, let's do NFC. Teams that you think could maybe run the table here down the stretch.
Okay, quickly, because it's more interesting. And
yes,
I guess
there
we
is more interest
break.
Here.
I mean, it's the Lions for me.
Yes.
The Lions are the most fascinating team.
Woo!
I want the Lions to get in so bad. I don't know if we need another tie between the Commanders and Giants. I don't know if we need the Seahawks to continue to plummet. I don't know what needs to happen exactly, but we need to get the Lions in the playoffs to shake things up because I think they're one of the few teams in the bottom of the NFC playoff picture that can actually maybe win a game. Like if they catch Minnesota, they can beat Minnesota again. The Lions can do some damage if they get in there. The Panthers can't. They'd get picked off immediately by the Dallas Cowboys if they win the division, but they could win the division. And I would kind of love to see Steve Wilks take over. They trade McCaffrey. They trade all their players. They trade anything who's actually worth something, and they still win a division. That would be an interesting story. Although in terms of like how it actually affects the postseason, it doesn't. But if the Panthers beat the Bucks or overtake the Bucks and get into the playoffs, it would be pretty hilarious.
So Lions, obviously my choice. I was high on the Lions in the preseason. Then they kind of blew it and made me feel anxious about that. But they're on their way back. They're on the come up. But I think I looked at both schedules. It was Lions and Packers for me. I know it's a process of elimination, though. Packers have Aaron Rodgers, and Lambeau's a hard place to play in. And if you look at this final game, the very last game of the season, the Lions have Jets, Panthers, Bears, and then Packers. Mm-hmm. Packers have Rams, Dolphins, Vikings, and then Lions. I honestly think it could come down to that final game.
It'd be pretty cool if it did.
And it would be at Lambeau, though, in January. A very tough place to play, but it could be Lions, Packers playing it out for a spot in the playoffs.
Even if it doesn't matter to the Packers, if it matters to the Lions, it would be kind of cool if the Lions
already circled it.
Have the chance to run the table, go into Lambeau, beat Green Bay to get in. That'd be an awesome story.
Just want my Lions to make some noise here. Mm-hmm. All right. Love that. Text in 590-590 with your wake and rake picks last night. Patriots and Cardinals injury early on in that game might have been difficult for your bets. Some possibly could have been voided, which is nice when the books do that. Tonight you've got Ducks here against the Leafs. Raptors not in action. They got the beam tomorrow. So wake and rake from wherever you want, NHL, NBA, or an anchor from our Leafs-Ducks game. We're going to take a break and we're going to do the A-List. It's Fan Morning Show with Justin and Ailish.
Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Now it's time for the A-List.
Bing bong.
Bing bong.
Bing bong.
What's up, baby?
All right, a quick baby A-List for you today before we talk about the World Cup semifinals that are back today. My teams are playing. Just when you thought Mullet Arena had entered the headlines and then disappeared from the headlines, I'm ready to bring them back. Okay.
Okay.
Friday night, there was a massive brawl in the Bruins Coyotes game. Not sure if you saw this trending floating around, but a patron lost their fingertip. It was bitten off at Mullet Arena. Somebody bit somebody's fingertip off during a fight at an NHL game.
That was a wild brawl.
If you haven't seen it, you got to just type in Coyotes Bruins brawl. This isn't no pushing and shoving.
No, there was like a cop crowd surfing at one point, like jumped on the pile.
It's actually wild. I wish I could play it on the air. Nonetheless, a fan lost
I hate watching
fingertip.
Brawls in stands.
It's stupid because
you hate the UFC.
Yeah.
And
I don't hate the UFC.
I don't mind a controlled fight. I actually love it. Like a great boxing match, a great fight. I love it. Good hockey fight. Love it. Bit of a caveman that way. But seeing like people fall over the seats.
That's the thing
and,
that
like,
sucks. There's like a barrier.
There's like a woman that got punched there too.
A woman gets like knocked out.
Yeah. It's like, it's gross.
It's gross. Utter chaos.
It was gross.
And somebody lost the fingertip.
And, yeah, adding to the grossness, there's a fingertip on the ground at Mellett Arena somewhere.
No, it was in someone's mouth.
So spit on the ground then.
Chomped it off.
Ugh.
Quickly, I lost the fingertip once that had to get stitched back on.
Ooh, once.
Well, not twice. Once it happened. Okay. It got slammed in a door when I was in grade 6.
I had the exact same thing happen to me. I didn't lose my finger.
I was on the recycling team. And I was going to get the recycling in a classroom, and the door was like one of those heavy ones that just slammed
down.
And I had my hands, like one hand in the recycling bin, and the other one was kind of like trying to keep the door open, and it just cut the tip of my finger, and I had to get it stitched back on at the doctor's office.
Like there was another piece.
It was hanging off. Okay, it wasn't like completely on the ground.
It was like discarded.
It wasn't like someone bit it off.
Man, that could have really upset my hockey career. Yeah.
Look at me now.
That would have been awful.
Anyway,
I had that happen, and they had to like puncture a hole in my nail because my nail wanted to explode off.
Yeah. Anyway, good morning to everybody. Keep your fingertips on.
And safe from doors in elementary school. Let's get to the sock report brought to you by CertainTeed, the pro's choice for roofing, siding, drywall, insulation, and ceiling system. CertainTeed, pro all the way. So the semifinals begin at the World Cup today. Your team, Woo! Argentina and Croatia. I'm feeling a bit of a low-scoring game. I feel like parking the bus territory is going to be there for Croatia. Argentina has had struggles at times in the tournament, but is in this position to move on to the World Cup final this weekend. Love that the World Cup is back in our lives. I do want to mention, though, just a little update on where the awards are here. Mm. Golden Ball, Golden Boot. The leader for the Golden Ball, which is the top goal scorer, is Kylian Mbappe with 5. Olivier Giroud and Lionel Messi have 4. Now, one important thing from a tiebreaker, if you're looking at a little gambling thing, is that the tiebreaker is fewest goals scored by penalties. Messi has scored a couple from the penalty spot, and Mbappe hasn't. So even if Messi manages to tie Mbappe, Mbappe still have the lead in a tie-breaking scenario, which could leave the Golden Boot, which is the MVP, to Messi in that scenario, because it's not just about goal scoring. The most dominant player by most statistics so far has been Messi. So if you're looking at what the awards maybe should be, try to forecast it, bet whatever. Golden Ball, driver's seat right now is Mbappe. Golden Boot is Mbappe. Golden Ball, maybe Lionel Messi at this point. And we've got a legend on the program at 7:30, Peter Drury, who's going to be doing the game today and did Argentina's last game versus the Netherlands and has done so many, so many legendary games in his career. Peter Drury will join us at 7:30. I cannot wait for that. This soccer report was brought to you by CertainTeed, the pro's choice for roofing, siding, drywall, insulation, and ceiling systems. CertainTeed, pro all the way. The Golden Ball, Golden Boot thing is so confusing. Boot, goal scorer, ball, MVP.
Just a quick reminder that Justin and I had this bet that was whichever team goes furthest in the World Cup. Out of our 5 teams each, they tied. Now we have redrafted with the automated computer generator our teams to grind this out to the end. I have Argentina and Croatia, and you have France and Morocco. So we're guaranteed to have a head-to-head at the end. Basically, a winner takes all at this point. So loser has to build a snowman. And my mother texted me yesterday, and she said, I'm thinking of knitting a scarf for you guys to put on the snowman. So cute. She goes, I want to knit 590 on one end and Sportsnet on the other end. She asked if we want it striped, what colors we want. I said, obviously, the Sportsnet colors, blue, red, and white. And do you want it striped? We'll have to discuss off air. But she wants to make us a scarf for our snowman.
If I lose, I will 100% wait for the scarf to build my snowman.
I will wear the scarf. So,
I think that's the problem, though.
You'll have to get it post holiday season.
Snowman out there. Like, you don't tear it down afterwards.
Well, I'm not leaving that scarf. That's like one of a kind.
Okay, so you might have to take the scarf home.
Well, anyway, my mother is willing to do that for us, which is very sweet. So,
that is sweet.
You have to wait till the post holiday break because she'll be knitting up a storm. All right, let's take a break because we got Luke Fox on the other side. It's a Fan Morning Show, Justin and Ailish. Sportsnet 590, The Fan.